felt like Jesus is just your imaginary friend. You know he's there. You would go to a church service and you would think, oh, that was really something happened inside of my spirit. But then I go outside and I went for lunch and I can't remember what was it that happened to me. And you believe he's there, but sometimes you're not sure. So maybe it's just something that I made up myself and it will still be okay. And you see the scripture about John 10 verse 10 that says, God wants to give us life and life in abundance. And you know it and you quote it, but to be real, you actually don't feel that is something that you can experience in your own life. And sometimes you wonder, maybe there must be something more to it. I know I come to church, I know, and I think I know who God is, but it's just, if I have to be serious and honest with myself, it's boring. And it's almost like it's a little bit of a wishy-washy relationship. And sometimes I have it, sometimes I feel something, sometimes not. And today I want to talk about that Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus is the biggest adventure that you can go be on with. And that is ministry for me. So we're going to look and we're going to speak about that. But I think we are called for more than just to receive, but to go out there. And we are chosen for a purpose and to have this adventure. And that is the biggest adventure that we can be on. And we, as a family, we love adventures. We love climbing mountains, camping, do all kinds of crazy stuff. But, God is, he wants to even exceed our expectations. And he really wants to come and say, hey, I invite you to adventure, not for now, not for just a church service, but for your everyday living. And that is what my heart is, and I believe God wants to speak to us about. Okay, so I got the topic of ministry, and I thought, oh, purpose, I think you have the wrong person. And when you asked me, I'm like, I can think of 10 people that I'm going to refer you to. And then I'm like, no, Yanni, I think God wants to come and maybe speak to me. So thank you for the preparation. That went into this. I think Nandi would also agree, and Lorette, if you have to prepare something, I think we learn the most. So ministry, if you think of ministry, like I said, you think sometimes of someone that is a pastor, that are paid to do the work of the church. And just to give a little bit of background, I am surrounded with ministers, with pastors, with Germanies. My grandfather, he was a minister. My great-great-grandfather was a minister on both sides. My dad is a minister. And four of my uncles are ministers. They always used to joke that they are five children, my dad. They are five sons. And four of them are in the ministry, and the other one is a Christian. My husband is a minister. My brother is the pastor of Shepherd George. So I'm surrounded with ministers. And today I want to speak to you and say, they are not the only ones that are called to ministry. They are not the only ones that are chosen to have this adventurous life. And we are also, and to go a bit further on, I have an amazing mom. And she's a teacher. I was also a teacher. I see three of my students here in class. But I'm glad you came. I'm not going to teach you mathematics at the moment. Sorry. And if I look at my mom, my dad used to say sometimes she's even more in the ministry than me. She's always the one. If I think about her, she's the one that fights for the kids, the welfare of the kids, at the principal in the principal's office. She's the one that would go to and would do visits at home and tell the parents, listen, I am worried about your kid. Can you please, let's pray for him. And so all of us are in this. Okay. So just to get a bit of definition, according to Wikipedia, in Christianity, ministry is an activity carried out by Christians to express or spread their faith. The prototype being the Great Commission. So we know Jesus called us, he said, go and have an adventure with me. Okay, and so can we all agree, or we said it now a few times, we are all called to be ministers, women, children, everyone. And in the Old Testament, there was only the priest that could minister, but Jesus came as a high priest, and he said to us, with the next slide, he said to us that we all are ministers. And if you can just go to the next slide, please. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Okay. So I think we can all agree by that. That is not for certain people. It's not for only for mature Christians. It's for the person that got saved yesterday. And it's for you. Okay. Okay. So where do you start? We all know now by now we all want to be part of this adventure. And I believe that the adventure starts with God. It was love. And we actually through worship and what purpose is said, God told us that we can first love because he loved us first. And that is the first commandment, is to love our God, and then secondly to love others. And I believe that is key to really experience an adventurous life with him. So if you can look at Peter, we all know we know Peter very well. And Peter was an adventurous guy, and he just saw how God supplied too many fish for them. And when he saw what God did, what Jesus did, he ran, he left the boat, and he got out of the boat, and he ran to Jesus. And the other disciples came with the boat. They were a bit more chilled, and they were waited until they reached the shore. And just later on the day, Jesus asked Peter the following question. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Next slide. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And I'm just going to the end. And then he said to him, follow me. So Jesus didn't ask him, do you respect me, Simon? Do you appreciate me? Do you believe in me? Do you think that I can do all these wondrous things? He asked him, do you love me? And I think sometimes we can be the same. Someone can ask me, do I love Theo, my husband? And I could say, yes, I love him because I and sometimes make his bed and I make food for him. I pray for him and I do all these things for him. I respect him. And then you won't believe him. You can see if I really love my husband and it's the same for Jesus. So it starts with loving Jesus, but we can first love him if we can receive his love. And I remember the last time as I was here, I asked the sermon went was about asking the Lord to help us to experience the love of Jesus and to give us the capacity to love him more and more every day. And then after that, Jesus told him that, okay, if you love me, feed my sheep, follow me. It's something that we must do. We must go out there. We are chosen for the adventure with him. Now this love that Jesus is talking about, it's not a wishy-washy love. It's actually a feeling. And sometimes we don't want to have anything to do with our feelings because it can be a bit dodgy and sometimes we can do things that we shouldn't do. But Jesus is telling us that we need to love him, and And this love, I believe, is daring. It is adventurous. You need to take risks. There's action involved. This love is not a very passive love, but it's very, very daring. And also for us as women, sometimes we can think, okay, no, but the husband or the man, he's the one that's taking action. But Jesus is calling us for a love that is bold, a love that is daring. Okay, so the next slide, I'm going to explain this love. I believe that we need to have boldness. Jesus has called us to love with boldness. And if we can look at a few examples in the Bible, it's Women's Month, so we're going to look about like, and we're going to look at some women. If you look at in Miriam's life, it was the sister of Moses, and she saw that this little baby is not going to make it. And she was very daring, and she put him in a basket, and she was looking and seeing and hoping and had faith that someone would take care of this little boy. And we know all that happened with Moses. And yeah, Ruth also has examples. She refused that Naomi, her mother-in-law, would go to her homeland alone. And we all know the story about how daring she was and that love was bold. Then one of my heroes, and I also believe, I want to encourage all of us to have heroes in the faith. That's still living today, and that we can look up to. One of my heroes is Katie Davis Major. She is probably a year or two older than me. She grew up in America, and she was a homecoming queen. She's a beautiful lady, and she told her parents after school that she would really want to do some ministry for a year in Uganda. And she was in love with the people there, and she saw she saw so many kids that didn't go to school because of finances, and so many people, kids that don't have parents. And she was stirred. She had a feeling, and she was stirred, and she took action. And she actually adopted all those kids, and she didn't have the husband by then. And that's been married there, all those daughters, and she's still there, she's still in Uganda. She raised funds for kids that can't afford to go to school. They start a school, and they are. She's living out her dreams. She's daring. She's adventurous. There's a lot of risk involved. And God provided in the area of her life. Who knows? But yeah. And then if you go further on, we go to the Bible again, and we see in Acts 4 verse 12 that boldness is such a prominent subject in the Bible. Look at Peter again, that Peter, Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" They were ordinary men, and they were preaching to a crowd. And if we read there, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So if we have all this, you can see, people can see that we were with Jesus. And because we can operate out of a place of boldness because we were with Jesus. And then also, in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 12, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. So we have hope, and that is Christ. That is why we can be bold. Not about us, but you know our hope is in Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'm going to introduce another lady on the next slide. Her name is Maggie. She's a colleague of mine, and I just want to encourage us with her story. We as women can sometimes find a lot of excuses why we don't actually can love with audacity at the moment. We can also, every one of us, we know the crisis, the coronavirus, and we can see all the challenges, but God is actually giving us so much opportunity in this time and for Him. So Maggie's story she loves cooking and she loves kids. And she never knew how to put these two together. And in this time of Corona, she was at home. She didn't go to work. And the Lord provided food for her that she could open a soup kitchen, which she could be able to feed kids, I think about 50 to 68 kids every day during lockdown. Now, she's still going back at work now, but she still gets food three times a week for these kids. And she is a different person. Every day she comes back with testimonies, and I just want to hear the testimonies. And this, she's alive, and I want to be with her. I want to see what she's doing. And it's not that all her circumstances changed, and Corona is still here, but she's alive, and I believe that she's on a massive adventure with Jesus. And so I just wanted to introduce her also to you. Okay. Then, so we know by now we need to laugh with audacity. We have to laugh with boldness. But the other very important thing is, and Beth Moore says it so beautifully on the next slide, that faith is the fertilizer in the seed of the wondrous God. We can't live without faith. We need to take what we read in the Bible and what we say this morning and apply it to our lives and say, I believe what we sang is true for me personally. He did save me from all those things. He saved me from my history. He saved me from what I did in the past. He actually chose me. He loves me. He adores me. And the dreams that he has for me is more than I can count. And we need to really believe that. And my father used to say this word in Afrikaans, and forgive me, some people be offended by it, but ons, ek gaan in Afrikaans sê, ons moet glo hardgat, met 'n hardgat houding. And in English, we need to be stubborn about faith. It's not the wishy-washy faith. It's like, I am a princess of God. And I think I've said it before to other people, but there was one time when he and myself had a fight. You others don't fight, only the two of us. And he was saying something to me, and I just felt that, no, I am a princess. And I told him, you don't speak to a princess like that. I believe what Jesus told me, that I am a princess. He's amazing, but sometimes we can get the worst out of each other. And that's how we should be. We should believe, and we should have and how we believe. And then also, faith is also dead without works. So it will go, if we really believe, then it will take action. And obedience is very important. And yes, it's not always nice and easy and comfortable. And there is a cost involved. And we need to count that cost, like we read in the Bible. And if we think about all the disciples, they had the most amazing, adventurous life stories, but there was a cost involved, a massive cost involved. But for me, I am prepared to take that cost because I don't want to live this boring life. I don't want to live the boring life. I want to be on a stage with Jesus. And yes, so we need to take action. Some of my, I don't know, you probably also heard of these books, but Love Does is it's an amazing book. And Bob Goff wrote it, and he just tells stories about how he loves people and how to love people, and it's by taking action. And we are called to take action, and that is when we come alive. Okay, so we know we need to love boldly, and we have to have faith that with obedience. So what now? We see all these needs. And sometimes, me personally, I can get very overwhelmed by all the need that I see. And I will get something and I just want to give it to someone again. And or where, Lord, must I help everyone on the streets? Or it's just so overwhelming, the need that I see. that Jesus is not a needy God. He's not an irritated needy God saying, hey, you must do that, hey, you must do it. He loves us too much. Yes, the needs are important. Someone needs to do the sound. That's always nice to sanitize all these jays. That's something that I feel, oh, I really look forward to sanitize that chair. I can't wait. But there's a greater purpose. So these are important. But Jesus loves us so much that we can only love him truly if we really want to love him. Can't say we need to love Jesus. We need to pray. We need to preach. We need to we need to rub my husband's back or whatever. It's about your God is really interested in your heart. And that's really where I stand still for a moment. And so we are all different. We have, every one of us have a different heart. And I want to ask you the question, what stirs your heart? Because it will be different for each one of us. It will be different. So something that stirs my heart is when I can see that someone was lost and now they're part of a community and they thrive. And if I can see their celebration. So when this girl and lady came up here, she received something. I almost wanted to cry because here is community, this family, and there's something so beautiful to me. For others, it's like, it's amazing, but I'm not going to cry about that now. And something else that is that really stirs my heart is restoration. If I walk to road with someone, if I counsel someone, if I see that person again and they are healed, I just want to cry the whole time. And it can be 3 years later, and if I see that person, something stirs in my heart, and I just want to thank Jesus for what he did the whole time. And it will be different for each one of us. Justice also something for that can stir your heart. So God really wants to have adventures with us, but will be different for each one of us. And that is something that we need to ask God and ask God, Jesus, what is it that I want? But now you can tell me the mean, but in the Bible we read that a heart is deceitful. So can we trust our heart? No, we can't trust our heart. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes that he was a very rich guy and he could get anything he wants. If he wanted a big house, he could buy one. He wanted food, he wanted three wives, he could get it. But there's nothing so bad if you get what you wanted and it doesn't satisfy you. There's nothing so bad. You feel cold, you feel your Lord is this what life about. And that's when we know it's not the desire of God's heart. And that is why Jesus is asking us and he's telling us, okay, delight yourself in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. And maybe your desires you will even have friends that you think, oh, I've never been friends with those people. But you delighted yourself in Jesus and because of that, he changed your heart and he gave you the new desires of your heart. So yes, we can't trust our heart, but we can ask Jesus to come and change our heart and then to give up your desires of our hearts. Yes, and sometimes what I've seen, I love to counsel sometimes, and I've counseled many people, but the people that I see were really for change, were desperate. The people that have seen the fruit quickly. And that is also, I think, in worship, I felt Jesus telling us to surrender to him and to be desperate for him, to want to have him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And there is where you can see the change. And also, our hearts are different, so are our gifts. And I also want want to encourage all the women, men, but sometimes especially young women, we think that our gifts are for ourselves. And we think we need to just pray for our husband. But Proverbs also says it very well, that we have, as husband and wife, we have a purpose together. And also, we as women have a purpose, and God gave us that gift. And sometimes we can fall into false humility and think, I'm not worthy to share this gift. But this is a klap in die gesig vir die Here in Afrikaans. Jesus gave you that gift, and we have a responsibility, and He wants us to use that gift. And we all know this beautiful story of the Samaritan woman at the well. I'm going to read it to you. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired as he was from the trip, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks for a drink, you would have asked him, and you would have given him living water." And I just want to highlight, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who I am, you would ask me. And later on, she actually ministered. She told everyone, she witnessed. She went to town and she told, "I met the Messiah." And because she met with Jesus. And I think he wants to say that to each one of us. If you only knew who I am, do we really know who he is? Do we believe what we read in the Bible? And if we truly know that, then we would ask him. And we would even ask him for gifts. And we would ask these desires that are godly, that God places inside of us. But he wants us to ask so that we can go and have this adventurous life with him. So I want to encourage you to keep on asking. It's not the one something. We are yet to endure till the end of life. That is actually such a beautiful thing for me, that I told you all the examples of everyone that's in ministry. But it's beautiful for me that my dad is now 61 and he's still in ministry. Because it's not a 2-year thing or something that we try. We are here for Jesus in the long term. Actually, here on earth is a very short time. So we are here for eternity. And we need to keep on asking Jesus for this. And it will differ year unto year. And we need to ask him, and he wants us to ask him. And this very popular scripture, it says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." So he gives us that promise, and to keep on going. And yes, I don't say you don't have challenges, and it's easy, but that's why Jesus is saying his word, that we need to keep on asking. Yes, I remember there was a time, it was about 3 years ago, when I went through a very challenging time, and it was over a long period of, period of time, and I really struggled with something, and it was like there's no breakthrough, and I don't even know what to pray anymore. I don't know what to do. It's just this thing, and there's nothing that I can do about it. And I remember I was driving, it was raining a lot, and I asked, and I just heard Jesus telling me that I am who I say I am, and I don't even need to ask him. I just believe, that I am or I say I am. And that brought so much comfort in me. So if we are in a challenging time, we don't always know what to do, but in that time we can just believe and know that God says he is who he says he is. And actually in that time, I saw the opportunity to have faith. And I grew so much during that time. Not knowing, I love to be organized and to, okay, this is my plan, this is how I'm going to do this. But I could only know that God is with me, and I had a privilege to grow my faith, not seeing the end results. So if we are going through a challenging time, we can really trust God and trust his word. Yes, so I'm going to end off by, okay, so we know we should love with daring hearts. We should love with taking risks. Faith is important. Faith without obedience is dead. And that God is interested in our hearts. So where do we start? We start with our everyday life. We start now. Where we sit, where we go home, where we prepare food, we can take our everyday life. And my colleague read Romans 12 to us, but the Message version, where Paul is telling us how we can take our everyday life. And it wasn't to look different for each one of us, because we are different and God made us that way. So I'm going to just read it to us, and maybe you can even just close your eyes and seeing how Paul is talking to you and how you can apply this to your everyday life. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to you. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given you, especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living there, as every one of you does, in a pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourself as people who are bringing the goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. In this way, we are like and the various parts of the human body. Each part is removed from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we are talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and wholly functioning parts of Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's good message, nothing else. If you help, just help, don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with a disadvantage, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of you, of who you are. Don't fake it. Yes. So I want to encourage us to go. It's not easy and it's costful, but I don't want to settle for a life that is boring. The life of Jesus is the biggest adventure that we can go on. So what I really want to ask you is, what can you take out of that? What can you do when you go home? And I think it starts with God. You ask Jesus, Lord, I have this desire inside of me. And it might look crazy, and it might even look unchurched, but Jesus, if it's from you, help me to be able to act on that. And yes, we are called to be ministers in the church, but also outside of the church. And both is important. And the church is everywhere. And to ask Jesus to give us that. And also, I believe that God also ministered to us with this in worship, is to be able to receive God's love and to be able to operate in the place where we know, I know God is crazy over me. And he loves me. I am his princess. Yeah.